right, we're going to get started. Thank you very much for joining this part one of Building Apps for Office and SharePoint. It's really exciting to be here presenting these topics for the first time in a public audience like this one, especially next to Windows and Azure. So this is a session we're going to do jointly. My name is Rolando Jimenez. I'm a program manager on the Solutions Framework team, which is the team within Office that takes care of all the programmability, story, extensibility. And this time around, many of you probably saw the previous presentation about the new investments that we have for developers. So this is a follow-up on that, and we're going to drill down a little bit more into the details. And with me, there's Keenan, which is going to get us started with an intro of the apps and the agenda for today.
Yep. So my name is Keenan Newton. If you did not meet me already, I'm a senior product manager on the SharePoint team. I'm responsible for both the office and developer audiences, and I actually used to sit where you guys sit. I was in Microsoft Consulting Services and was an app dev before then. So I've actually lived in your shoes. So I've understand the pains that you've gone through, both the good and bad, in writing apps, like using VSTO and things like that in the past. And I'm really super excited to be talking about this new cloud app model and apps for Office and apps for SharePoint, because a lot of things just suddenly just magically become easier just because of the architecture. So we'll break this up into three parts. We're going to get more and deeper into what apps are all about, a little more in depth than we did during the What's New. Then I'm going to hand over to Rolando, who's going to talk about the anatomy of an app, and then go into the app architecture as well. So when we think about building solutions for Office and SharePoint, you typically you have your product or platform. Now, if you're not using Office or SharePoint, you write some for Windows or maybe ASP.NET app or something for Azure, whatever it may be. But with the SharePoint Office, it's a really great, powerful platform because it really helps people be productive. SharePoint allows them to collaborate very easily, do business intelligence, search for content. You know, Office obviously has its powers with creating content with Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Access, Visio, InfoPath, and OneNote, and all those great productivity tools that we use day in and day out in our lives. In fact, sometimes we take it for granted. But a lot of times, we have other services and data that we want to leverage and leverage. And sometimes, for Office standpoint, it's SharePoint. It can also be data from Dynamics or Windows Azure, Bing, SQL Server, even Yammer, since we just acquired them. But it could be also third-party stuff like SAP, things from Twitter, Facebook. All these different organizations around the world have APIs, public APIs, that we can leverage. And what we typically do today, if we want to incorporate them into an Office document or an Excel document, what do? We copy and paste, because that's how that's how we get things done. We copy paste something off of a web page. Maybe we saw something on Wikipedia. We paste it into a Word document, and then wordsmith it there for the content we're trying to create. But wouldn't it be great if we could actually just provide a simple user experience? And that's kind of where apps come into play. So any opportunity that you had before where you basically copied and pasted something, that's an opportunity for an app. So if you're copying and pasting things, like as mentioned, Wikipedia, content from Facebook, Twitter, content from Foursquare, wherever it may be, where you're actually just moving data back and forth, and it could be an internal line of business application, like SAP. In SAP, you're probably not copying and pasting, you're probably retyping as you're looking at a different screen. So all these different things that we do and we typically do day to day, apps can help solve. So we provide a single user experience. So when you're in the Office document, click your app, and it's right there. Your content's right there, and it's instantly merging together. But just having apps just isn't enough. The other side is we have to be able to find apps as well. So that's where we introduce both the app catalog and store. So the app catalog, you can think of it as an internal catalog of apps that you can go ahead and simply leverage within your organization. Your IT department has complete control over them, of what's there and the content that's there. The store, you can almost think of it as a public version of an app catalog. This is where I can acquire apps from a public location where people can go ahead and distribute their apps and I can easily discover them. Now, in the IT department, obviously you don't want to just go ahead and go willy-nilly and just trying to just swipe their cards and install whatever apps that they want. So there are controls that are provided within the store to actually prevent users just from going ahead and swiping their cards. But users could still request them, or the IT administrator can just shut down the store altogether for the end user. So there's complete flexibility and power in how we, an IT department can put governance on the usage of apps within their organization. So we have various types of apps for SharePoint. The three types are what we call a full page immersion app. And that app is basically where you see a full page. And what happens is when you click on the app within the icon, you basically are going to either like a different page within SharePoint where it's a SharePoint hosted app, or you're going to a totally different site where it's a cloud hosted app. Perfect examples may be, for instance, you're going to the FedEx site to print up a shipping label for a list of addresses you have in the SharePoint list. Could be an example. The app part, for those of you who have done SharePoint development in the past, you're probably very familiar with web parts, and you can think of app part kind of similar to an app part where it takes up a portion of the page itself. So you can have like the right side of the page or left side or the bottom, top, whatever, kind of the same type of concepts with web part zones applied to app parts as well. And then last is what is basically like an extension app, and basically that's a custom action. And that custom action is simply just where I can have a menu item or context menu, maybe something in the ribbon. I click on something in the ribbon, I click that context menu item, and I go ahead and jump to another app. So those are three main shapes that we have within SharePoint. Within Office, there's also three different types of shapes, but they're a little bit different. If many of you are familiar with VSTO, you've probably built something with a task pane. So we have the equivalent of that for apps for Office. And the task pane, the great thing about it is it's document-centric type of app, as well as the type underneath it, which is a content app. So where task pane is basically a pane off the side, the content app is basically something that's embedded right inside of Excel or the Excel web app. And with the task pane app, you can actually use it between multiple Office products. So you can use it between Word and Excel and PowerPoint and use that same task pane app between all three of them. So you write the app once, you put it in the marketplace, and you enable it for basically to tell the marketplace, yeah, it'll work for all three because they share the same Office object model that they leverage. The last one is a mail app, which is a mailbox centric. And this one's a little bit different. The task pane and content pane apps are something that have to be activated within the document itself. The mail app is basically lit up automatically based on the context of what's inside your email, that you're the email item you're looking at, or the appointment that you're looking at. So if you're on an email, and let's say it has a phone number or an address, it'll go ahead and fire up the apps that are and present them to you that are contextual to, you know, to something to a phone or to an address. And you define all that as you create your app, saying, hey, I want this app to appear with phone numbers. Hey, I want this app to appear with addresses. Real quick, hey, guys in the back, we got 3-4 seats up front. If you guys want to come up here, I know room's starting to get a little bit tight, so if you don't want to stand, by all means, come to the front row. So we got the three types of apps there. And then with mail apps also, you have the different type of behaviors where it's essentially like a task pane, but it's within the Outlook client as well. Again, they're stored, those are actually kicked off by Exchange directly. So looking at the common app architecture as a whole, we have basically you have some type of client-side code, and sometimes you have server-side code. The two exceptions where you may not have necessarily server-side code are SharePoint hosted apps, where you're not allowed to have server-side code, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on. And also, client apps are kind of optional, whether you want to, like the Office client apps are optional if you want. You can just use HTML JavaScript and leave it at that, but you could go ahead and run it with server-side code. But the idea is that we want to present here is that, hey, you can use client-side code with the JavaScript object models for Office and SharePoint. And then on the server side, you can interact with Windows, Azure, websites, workflow, SQL, the cloud services, IIS, ASP.NET, whatever you want to execute on your server side. Any platform you want to execute on the server side. That would include platforms outside of Microsoft platforms, such as Amazon Web Services, PHP, Ruby on Rails. If you want to create your own custom HTTP server in C, run in Linux, more power to you. You can run, because these are web-based applications, where the actual web page is rendered from is completely up to you. Just as long as you support open web standards such as OData, REST, and OAuth, you can make those apps work with the new app model for Office and SharePoint.
I want to mention that this is very important because for the very first time, we have a common app architecture across both Office and SharePoint. Traditionally, Office and SharePoint have been two very different worlds, and probably you are very familiar with that situation. If you are developing Office, you do VBA, VSTO, and if you're doing SharePoint, you do a completely different set of things like workflow, lists, VCS. So for the first time, So for the very first time, we have a common architecture that allows developers to share the code and share the skills that you use to build applications and then have applications that actually span both platforms. So this is a very important point that we want to make sure that we transmit during this session and to the following sessions as well.
So with that, actually, I'm handing it off to you.
That's back to me. That's great.
All right.
So I'm going to dive now into the details of what is an app behind the scenes, and I'm going to spend most of the time doing demos. But before I get started, I want to ask you a question. How many of you, I want to see hands, consider yourselves Office developers? Like, who can say, I'm an Office developer? Okay. Just a few people. How many of you would say, I'm a web developer? I know how to do websites. Okay, majority of people. So that's great. So my goal in this session is to show you that with the new app model, all of you that didn't say you are Office developers, you are actually Office developers just by the fact that you know how to do web. And that's the point of this new model. We're making Office so easy to integrate with the web that all you need to do to create Office applications and SharePoint applications is your existing web skills. So let's dive into what an app for Office is. So by the way, this is part one of a series of two sessions. And we're going to start with a focus on apps for Office. And the next session is going to focus on apps for SharePoint. But as you saw, the model is common in terms of the general architecture that we follow, the technologies used to create these apps. It's just that we want to make sure that we cover both sides. So you will see a lot of apps for Office, and in the next session, we'll follow up with apps for SharePoint. So I'm going to start with... Actually, if we can go back just one more slide. Sorry about that. There we go. So I want to start with this very simple slide. This is basically the slide that explains you what is an app for Office from a technical perspective. And an app for Office is essentially a web page. A web page plus a manifest file that basically is just a very lightweight XML file that describes how that web page integrates into Office. That's it. It's a very simple concept, but as you will see, we expect it to be really powerful in terms of the scenarios it enables. So let me show you what I mean by an app for Office is just a web page. So I'm going to go to my Excel client, and this is a very basic and straightforward scenario, but I like it because it illustrates the power of the simplicity of the model as well as the ability to connect to very powerful services like Bing, for example, in this case. So in this particular spreadsheet, I have a lot of data that I have collected somehow, and I put it into my Excel spreadsheet. I have data about all the national parks in the U.S. And of course, since I'm in Excel, I can create pivot tables on top of that and start slicing and dicing the data using different dimensions. In this case, I have a pivot table that shows the data by state. But wouldn't it be nice if I could see this data in a map? And this is where apps for Office come into place. So you will find this new entry point in the Office 2013 product, which allows a user to insert apps for Office. So this is the first way apps for Office surfaces to the user. Inside the product, I can introduce apps for Office. So when I click on that, I get this dialog that allows me to see the apps for Office that I have already acquired. And as Keenan said, there's going to be a couple of places I can acquire apps from. I can acquire them from the public Office store, which is a global catalog worldwide available to all users that have Office 2013. Or I can acquire them, you can see another tab there that says My Organization, which is an app catalog that is scoped to a particular company or institution. So I can also get apps that are privately scoped. So in this case, I'm just going to go ahead and go to this other catalog, which is another private catalog, and select this Bingmap app. So the first thing I want to show you is this Bingmap shows as a chart, right? It just looks and feels like a chart. And basically, we're using the same technology we use to integrate charts in Office. So it will print, it will copy and paste, it will do all the things that you would expect the chart to do. But in this case, instead of a chart, it's being powered by a web page. So as you would expect, and probably you have seen some demos, this is completely interactive, and it's all built in JavaScript. And just to prove the point that this is effectively just a web page, I can navigate to it on the browser. So I'm going to come to my browser and just navigate to the point, the URL that it's hosting that web page. So it's essentially just a web page, but it's inside Excel. Now, the key differences between just any plain web page and this Bingmap's app, it's a couple of things. One is the JavaScript API that we expose and that this app uses to interact with the document contents so that I can do things like this. I can select a set of parts and then have the app read the data from my Excel document and then do something useful to it. And this is where the power of blending the web and Office starts to show up. In a matter of just a couple of clicks, I created a mashup between my Excel data and the Bing Maps data, all the geographical information that it's on the web, just mashed it up with a couple of clicks. And that is the sweet spot scenario where we expect apps for Office to actually play a big role. So let me show you the other aspect I mentioned about a web page integrating into Excel. So the other thing that makes an app for Office is the app manifest. So the app manifest, as I said, is a very simple and lightweight XML that describes how this web page that I show you integrates into Office. So this is actually the manifest that I use for that Bingmaps app. And as you can see, there are some information like ID, version, provider, description, etc. The key elements in this manifest are going to be the, not the icon, sorry, the icon is important too because it shows in the UI, but basically the source location for the web page. And you can see that's just a simple URL that points to that location. And that is effectively what makes Excel know that I need to navigate to that page and show it. There's another interesting aspect here, which is this capabilities section, where the app for Office can express what capabilities are required for this app for Office to run. In this case, I need a workbook, but I also can declare I can work with a document, like a Word document, and then the app for Office will be available in all the different applications that support those capabilities. Lastly, there is this permission section, which is also interesting to talk about, which is basically the way the developer has to declare what that web page is going to do in terms of interacting with the document and using the JavaScript APIs that are exposed to that web page. So in this case, I want read-write access to the document. And the user, similar to other app models, needs to basically trust the app to do those things. So that is basically what an app for Office is. It's a web page with a manifest that integrates that web page into Office. Now, I want to show you one of the visions of the platform is that this is going to become the platform where, as a developer, you can create an app, and it's going to work on all the different Office clients. So Office has evolved from being a set of desktop clients like 20-plus years ago. And now it's all over the place. We have web clients, we have mobile clients, we have Mac clients, and in the future we'll expect to have clients on Win8 and other platforms. So we don't have today technology that developers can use to actually target all these platforms at once. And that's part of the vision of this new platform, that as a developer you create this app once and it works everywhere Office is. In this case, I want to show you just a very simple example of that. So in this case, I'm going to open a SharePoint site, and this has just a document library with a list of documents. I want to show you how that same code base that I created for the Bing map works symmetrically on the web app as well. So I'm going to open a document that is the same document that I had on the desktop, just open it in the Excel web app. And the exact same code base works here. So from a developer perspective, I just write it once, and it works in all these environments. Now, in Office 2013, we focus specifically on supporting the desktop clients and the web clients. That's the main target. We still don't have mobile clients or Mac clients, but that's definitely something that we are looking in the future to expand. So as a developer, you should think that this is going to be eventually available in all the different Office clients that we support in the suite. So I show you what we call a content app, which is basically like a chart. It is anchored to a particular part of the document, and it scrolls with the document, prints with the document, etc. We also support another type of app, which is the task pane. And I want to take this opportunity not only to show you the task pane, but I want to show you also the symmetry that we have across clients. And this is another new capability for those that were Office developers. You know that before, if you wanted to extend Excel, you needed to create an add-in for Excel. And if you wanted that same functionality to be available in Word, you will have to create a new project for Word. And that's one thing that we are trying to break here by enabling apps to actually target multiple clients. So let me show you a quick example of that. I'm going to insert this Wikipedia app that basically allows me, as you would expect, to search content off of Wikipedia. So as I make selections, and then you will see this another capability of the API to basically react to events as the user selects stuff within the document, the Wikipedia app is responding to that. And I can do things like basically browse images and even insert some content from that section here. Let's see, probably HTML5 has an image here. There you go. And then I can say, oh, I like that logo. I want to integrate it into my HTML5 document that I'm authoring, and boom, there it is. So the app, you can see, using the JavaScript API, can interact, read and write with the document. Now, the point I wanted to make is that this Wikipedia app is relevant not only in Word, but I could use it in PowerPoint or Excel, and that's precisely what we did. By declaring in the manifest that this app works in all these contexts, I can come back to my same Excel document and then use the Wikipedia app. Again, for the developer perspective, it's the same code base. I didn't have to change the way I code. I just code against a simple JavaScript API that abstracts the details of whether I'm Word or Excel and exposes the contents of the document in a data-driven way so that I can do things like this. I can, again, enable this auto-search feature here and then select a park, and Wikipedia is going to automatically look it up for me. So, again, symmetry not only across different environments or platforms where Office clients are supported, but also across apps. And this is thanks to the API abstractions that we have made to make this happen. So, and then just to round up the story in terms of what shapes of apps, so Keenan showed you the three shapes of apps that we support, the task pane, the content, and the mail app. Outlook supports this other shape, which is a mail app. And you probably have seen some demos of this in the previous session. I'm just going to show you a little bit more of what can be done. In this case, I have a sample email where someone is telling me about a package that I received. And we have a couple of apps that activated because of the content of this email. There's this LinkedIn app that activates on any email that I receive that allows me to see my LinkedIn contacts. So you can see the app can read the to and the from and then do something useful about it. I use this app actually a lot to connect to people in the office that I'm not connected in LinkedIn. So it's so easy to just get the email and click a button, say connect, and boom, I'm done. I don't need to go to the web, log in, etc. This other app, which is about tracking shipments, basically recognizes that there is a package number in this mail. And you can see how it's highlighted. And it gives me the status of that package. And that's the way the app basically connects to the service and brings that information and content to the rich client. So that is essentially the basics of what apps for Office are. So now I'm going to go back to the slides and then just do a quick recap. So we saw web page plus manifest is your app. So by this point, you're probably thinking, wow, yeah, that seems to be pretty easy. It's just a web page hosted in a web server, create a manifest that points to it, and that's it, right? So how about the whole end-to-end developer experience? And I can tell you that the development experience is also pretty straightforward. I'm going to show you an end-to-end demo of that. Before we dive into the demo, I want to just say a couple of things. The first one is that we designed this platform to be open. So in terms of tooling, you can actually use any tools you like. I mean, because it's the web, all you need to do is create HTML pages, server-side logic, and as Keenan showed in the common architecture demo, it doesn't need to be on the Microsoft stack. You can even build this on Linux with Apache and PHP if you want. So really, you can use any tools you like. And a lot of the first apps that we created internally when we were developing the platform were created in Notepad. So, and it was actually not a painful experience. It was just HTML and XML. Someone's laughing there because probably, yeah, editing XML and JavaScript in Notepad is not the best experience. But it was pretty doable. I would say, I mean, we created pretty interesting dats just with that tooling. Now, of course, Visual Studio 2012 is going to give you the best experience. And I'm going to show you a little bit of that. You guys saw in the introduction, for those who attended, a demo of Napa, which is a browser-based version of Visual Studio. And I'm going to show you a little bit of the Visual Studio, the rich client experience. There's going to be another session. We're going to reference it at the end that it's going to cover much more in detail all the tooling experience. But hopefully in this session, you'll get an idea of what's the end-to-end development experience for apps. So I'm going to switch back to the demo environment and then just switch gears. So I want to start with Visual Studio, and this is Visual Studio 2012. And it has the add-on that you install that basically includes all the app templates for apps for Office and apps for SharePoint. So I want to show you just how simple it is with Visual Studio to create an app for Office. All I need to do is basically start a new project. There's this new section for Office and SharePoint, and within apps, you can create your project. I'm going to select an app for Office in this case, call it Build Demo. And the first thing the tools ask me is what type of shape you want, because this is going to determine the manifest configuration. Of course, I can change that later if I wanted, but for now, I'm going to accept the default, a task pane that works in all the different clients, and just click Finish. So that's going to, of course, basically create all the different things that I need to do some robust development in apps for Office. But as you saw before, really the essentials is just I need an HTML page hosted in a web server and an XML manifest that describes the apps. Those are the two key elements. So Visual Studio created those for me. So you can see there's the HTML page for my homepage and a JavaScript file where I can place all my code. And as you would expect, without any modifications, Visual Studio guys do a really good job here. I can just press F5 and then run that app. And you can see that there is some sample code already inserted so that any new developer can get a hang of how to start using the JavaScript API. And in this case, the sample logic basically allows me to read and write from a cell or a selection. Oops, that's a bad spelling. Okay. I guess it's meant to be. So I'm going to do a set data. So that's just very simple code that it's setting the data. And I'm going to do a get data. And of course, if you go back to the code, you can see what's going on here. We are using the office.context.document, which is an object within the JavaScript API that allows me to set selected data and get the selected data. So it's very simple. One thing that you will notice is that a lot of the methods are async, and that is because we are very concerned and very interested in making sure these apps can be performant and not block the user interface. So there's a lot of facilities for you to do async calls and not having to worry about blocking the UI. So that is the out-of-the-box example. Let's create something a little bit more interesting and useful. So what I'm going to do is basically evolve this app into a basic translator app that actually connects to a service and gives me some translation functionality. So I'm going to replace the contents of the body here and then insert this HTML body, which, as you can see, is super simple. It's just my title here and a button with a non-click handler and just some div to show the results of the translation. That's all it is. Nothing magic here. And the other thing I'm going to do is I'm going to come back to this JavaScript file and then replace the entire contents of the sample code with the call to this function, which is just a translate function. And just to show you how this works, I'm going to set a breakpoint there. And just with that, I'm going to press F5 again. And Visual Studio is doing all the nice hookup work. It's launching like a local IIS Express, hosting my web page there, hooking up the debugger so that I could actually have all the nice debugging experience. And now I have my app. So, of course, this app is usable now. And in a line of code, you can see how you can use Bing Translator to do this. So I'm going to type a word here in Spanish that I want to translate. I'm going to click Translate. You can see the debugging experience. And here you can see how I'm going to do a REST call to the Microsoft Translator API. And I'm passing the value that I capture from the user as a parameter. So nothing really complicated. It's actually pretty straightforward. Hit F5, and then I have the translation for that word there. So you see, in a couple of lines, literally is less than 20 lines of code, I have already a useful translator service. And the power of this is I didn't create the translation code. All I'm doing is integrate a very powerful service that it's already out there into the context of an Office app, and then just put the two worlds together. So just think about how many services are already out there that you can use and bring in the context for Office. I bet there's a lot, not only services, but also content and data. And there's a quick question here.
Does TypeScript fit into all this? Very nice to see it.
That's actually an excellent question. It does actually fully work. So you can use TypeScript. You do have to modify the project file just a little bit. Yeah, you just add it. The key thing is there on the Visual Studio on the top of the project file, there's an initial set of calls for initial templates. You need to set the template that's going to do the TypeScript to JavaScript compiler. That there, because what happens is it's a custom build target. So you just make sure that runs first before it does all the Office and SharePoint magic underneath the hood. It just works. I actually, when I first heard about TypeScript, I was like, I've got to try this. It actually worked, and it works wonderfully. At SharePoint conference, we're actually going to have a full session just devoted to TypeScript with apps for Office and SharePoint. Yeah.
By the way, who has heard about TypeScript? Okay, so a lot of people. So yeah, I mean, as Kenan said, it will work because it's JavaScript.
Any chance you guys could just do a quick little blog post on the setup for that?
We will.
Definitely.
Right at SharePoint conference once we show you how to do it there, because we're seeing what we can do with the Visual Studio team to try to get the best practice to do it. But right now, what I just told you is what we're kind of settling on. So yeah, absolutely. We'll definitely be a blog post.
Okay, so hopefully that demo gave you a sense of like what's going to be the development experience like. I mean, you saw there, basically what you saw is most of what it is about creating an app for Office. From there is just your code, right? Like whatever logic you want to do either in JavaScript or in ASP.NET or in any other language that of your choice to power the functionality of the app. So there's, other than the JavaScript API that Office exposes and the JavaScript APIs that SharePoint exposes, everything is just the same web technologies, TypeScript, or any other libraries that you want to use, like jQuery, anything will just run. Because we're effectively hosting a browser inside Office, and that basically gives you the power to take advantage of anything that you can do inside the browser, you can do inside here. Question there? The ribbon, the question is if the ribbon exposed, and the short answer is we didn't expose the ribbon, and it was a conscious decision because we want to make sure that these apps run across the board in all Office clients, and the ribbon is something that is not present in the mobile clients, for example. Or in the web clients, the ribbon is limited and it's not the, not, doesn't have the same functionality. So when you look at this platform, you will see that there are things and design decisions we made to keep the platform generic so that we can move forward with new clients that may not include the features, the same features that the existing clients have.
But for SharePoint, you can use the ribbon.
Yeah.
Yep.
Let me go ahead and we talked about, I mean, I show you just a very quick preview of the tooling experience. If you're interested in going deeper on how to use the tools, I recommend going to the tooling session, which is going to go deep onto that experience. But hopefully that gives you a sense of what it's about. And Visual Studio is helping you a lot. Now, once you develop your app, let's say I finished my translator app, I made it pretty, and it's looking great. Now, what's next? How do users get that app? So let's spend a little bit of time talking about how to deploy apps. Question there?
You include the page inside the package. Can you actually have a URL to itself, a URL? Can you actually navigate to the URL inside the page?
Correct. So the question is if the page is included inside the package or if I can just navigate to the URL. I'm going to do a demo about deployment, and I think it will clarify your question. If not, let me know. So deployment. This is another area where we invested a lot in terms of simplifying the deployment compared to other deployment models that we had in the past. Like in this case, the deployment model for apps for Office and SharePoint is really you take your web page and you publish that web page in the web server of your choice. So from that perspective, it's just the same as deploying any other web page or web application to a web server. And you can use the same technologies with Microsoft. You can use Web Deploy. You can use FTP. You can use regular web standards to deploy your HTML and web logic to your web server. The other aspect is the how do the clients learn that these apps exist. So we have this notion of a catalog. A catalog server is basically a server on the network that contains a collection of XML manifests. So the catalog server is essentially just a repository of XML manifests. And in 2013, we support a few different types of catalog servers. One is the Office Store, which is basically a global catalog pre-configured for all consumers of Office 2013 so that people can go and acquire apps there. But we also support a SharePoint-based app catalog that allows your enterprise to set up your own application catalog to roll out applications to the end users. And we also support a file-share-based catalog, which is the minimal kind of catalog that you can have that is mostly targeted for development scenarios and very small settings where SharePoint, for some reason, is not an option. But you will see that that effectively allows you to create a folder on a network share, start copy-pasting XML manifests that are the app manifest there, and that's your catalog. So the catalog, again, is another very simple concept. It's just a list of XML manifests that the clients are configured to point to read all the apps that are available from that catalog. So the basically, the end-to-end flow is you develop your app using the experiences that we show or the ones of your choice if you have other tool sets. Once you're done, you're basically going to publish your app to a catalog. So doing this is as easy in the simple case as copying the XML file to the catalog. That's just a file copy in the case of FileShare, or just upload to a SharePoint doc library, which is the actual catalog in SharePoint. Or you can actually create a .app package. And this is going to be covered in more detail in the SharePoint session. We do have an option to package more than just a simple app for Office in a single packaging unit. You can actually put multiple apps for Office plus any SharePoint functionality that you want, including workflows, document libraries, VCS connections, all in one package, and then use that to deploy to SharePoint. Now, what you do as a developer is when you create your package, you deploy it to the Office store if you want to go public and sell your app or provide it for free, or you deploy it to your internal app catalog. Once it's there, the clients, the Office clients, will have to be configured to point to that catalog. So there's a setting that can be managed via registry policy or via the Office UI that points to that catalog. And by default, all Office clients are enabled and configured to the public Office store. And within your organization, you can do a configuration for other private catalogs. And the other thing is the web server, right? So we talked about the web server is the place where you will host all the HTML and JavaScript and server-side logic for your app. And that's effectively the end-to-end. And once you do that, consumers and corporate users will get it. Now, one very important aspect which differentiates this platform from others that have also similar concepts of an app catalog and an app store is the document sharing aspect. So basically, when you insert an app for Office into a document, that app for Office becomes part of the document. Now, if I save that document and send it to you, you will receive the document. Now, the app doesn't travel with the document. Like, we are not embedding the XML of the manifest or even the HTML. The only thing that is stamped in the document is what we call an app reference, which is basically the ID of the app and the location of the catalog it comes from, so that when you receive the document, you open that document, and our runtime will pick that up, look at the reference, and we'll know how to load that exact same app from the catalog that I inserted it from. And then from that point on, the app is just loaded from the web server. So essentially, the catalog is kind of a central way to let users know about apps and where to load the apps from in terms of the URLs. Let me actually show you a quick demo of that. So let's say I'm done with my queue. Let's say I'm done with my translator app that we just built in a few minutes now. Now I want to make it available to users in my organization. How do I go about that? So as I said, you publish your web project to a web server, publish the XML to a catalog, and then you're done. So let's do that. First thing, I need a web server, right? I need a web server that people can hit. And this is a great opportunity to show you Windows Azure. So Azure is definitely a great option. There's probably many sessions that explain this in more detail. I just want to show you how it applies to apps for Office. So in this case, I went to the portal and already created a trial account. If you haven't done this, go ahead and do it. It's free, and it allows you to play with all the different things that you can do in Azure. I want to show you this is the management portal, and I already created a website. Creating a website is like 2 minutes. You just provide a name, and it provisions in less than 2 minutes. So I already have this Rolando J demo website, which is going to be used for hosting my apps. So the only thing I need to do on top of this is I want to configure Visual Studio to be able to publish to that website. And Azure gives me a very easy way to do that. I come here to that website configuration and download a publishing profile. So I'm going to do save as and save this to my desktop. Actually, I had a copy, but we'll rewrite it. So I just downloaded the publishing profile there. And that's all I need to do. Now I have a way for Visual Studio to publish to that website. And that's what I'm going to do. So in this Visual Studio project, I'm going to right-click here and say Publish. And I'm going to import that publishing profile that I downloaded. And that is going to configure Visual Studio with the right URL, right authentication, dev keys, et cetera, that I need to publish to that place. I'm going to say, yeah, remove anything that is already there and just publish my app. And then next, and then say publish. And that's it, as easy as that. Like, couple of clicks, and I already have a way to publish my app for Office into an Azure website. And you will see in a moment that Azure website will be up and running. Actually, if you have your devices there, you can actually hit that URL, and it should be it should be live. Oh, wait a second. Actually, this is expected. So the relative location of my page in that is builddemo.html. So let me hit that, and that is the translator app that we just built, and it's public, it's in the cloud. So at that point, it's just a web page, right? It's not interacting with Office. Now, I want to make it an app for Office. The next step is to publish the manifest. So I'm going to publish that manifest to a catalog. So all I need to do here is click on this other manifest project here that Visual Studio created for me. And again, I'm going to say publish. And basically, I'm going to say I want to use the web deploy project that I use for Windows Azure. That is the location, because the manifest needs to point to the publishing location, right? So I'm going to tell Visual Studio, use that same location as the web deploy project. Picks it up. It is there. I do next and then finish. So all it's going to do is basically create or configure the manifest to point to that location and giving me a couple of additional options in case I wanted to publish to the store. But what I care about is this basically this basic manifest that got created. I can open it in Notepad to see. And it's nothing fancy. It's the same type of stuff that we saw before. And it points to the location in Azure that I just published my app to. Okay? Once I have the manifest, I just need to put it into a corporate catalog. So let me show you that it's also a very easy step. So let me present you app catalog within SharePoint. So an app catalog is very simple. It's just a special type of document library that contains a set of XML manifests. So you can see it just looks like a regular document library with some additional properties and columns. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to upload that manifest that Visual Studio created for me to that catalog location. And let me just grab the location for that file from here. Open, and there's my build demo XML file. And I'm going to upload it there. And there it is, build demo. Now, I want to show you something before I refresh this. Let me actually close this one. So if I go to my insert dialog, this My Organization tab, right now it's pointing to that catalog in SharePoint that I show you, which is essentially a list of XML manifests. If you see the app is not there because I just published it, we have an automatic refresh, so the app will eventually get here automatically. For now, I'm just going to click the refresh button and then show you that now the app just appeared here. So it's as simple as that. And you can see the power of this. There was absolutely no deployment to the client. All the deployment was to the web server, to the app catalog, and automatically the clients got the app. So the power of this in terms of lifecycle is IT admins have full control about these apps. They can add them, retire them, version them, update them in the pace they want, so full control. From an end user perspective, there's no like actual installation that happens. So if I come here and insert this app, there's my app, and I can basically do this and say translate, and it just works. Yeah.
What's the process for, what's the user experience for that? That it lives as a reference, but I access it at least once and then I go offline. What happens when I open this spreadsheet?
So So the question is, what happens in the offline situation? And the short answer is, it really depends on how you code your app. If you code your app such that it is available offline and the functionality doesn't require any connectivity to a service, the app will work offline. The very first time, it needs to have connectivity to the catalog. But once you use it at least once, we will cache it. And you can use any of the support in the browser stacks like HTML5 local storage or app cache to actually make sure that your app is available offline. Now, we expect a lot of these apps, the value to come from the services. So I'm not sure if that's going to be very common, but it, from a technical perspective, it is doable. So I'm going to continue here. Oops, that's not the... Right. So hopefully that gives you a sense of the end-to-end developer experience and what app for Office are. I'm going to defer the questions to the end. I still have some interesting stuff that I want to show you, so make sure we get to it. And then if we have time, we'll take questions at the end. So that is basically the anatomy of an app for Office. We saw what an app for Office is and how it's deployed and what's the basically the deployment model and the developer experience for that. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about the architecture of an app. So Keenan already showed you that we have a common architecture across apps for Office and apps for SharePoint, where you can have client-side code, server-side code in your app in the technology stacks of your choice, and that's going to be the same for Office and SharePoint. Now, one key aspect of this new app architecture is the power of the service. So what we expect is the sweet spot of the apps are not going to be apps where all the logic is in HTML, JavaScript, or even server-side just specific for that app. The power and where this unleashes this platform is where when you start connecting to the outside world. That's what we designed the platform for, that you start connecting to services like REST, OData, and start connecting to on-premises SharePoint and Exchange or your own custom developments or services, LOB systems like SAP, or online in the cloud to Office 365 services, any of the public services exposed by third parties like Facebook, Twitter, Salesforce. I mean, there's a ton of services out there, and that's really what we want to promote with this app model, integration of those services to really bring the web into Office and SharePoint. So let me do a very quick demo, which I like a lot because it illustrates really this concept. I'm going to start a new Excel spreadsheet here. I'm not sure if they showed this demo in the previous session, so you probably saw this cost of living demo already where they use the map to basically realize what are the states that the cost of living is better or worse. So let's say I'm trying to move to some other state and I want to do some research. I created this simple but very powerful app. I call it Magic Fill. I'm going to say, yeah, start it. And what this app allows me to do is I'm doing my research in Excel and I have enough information about cost of living. But I want to consider other factors that maybe the web knows about, but I don't know. Like, for example, I'm from Mexico. I'd like to know how many Mexicans there are in all these states. And maybe that's a decision factor for me. So what I'm going to do, the weather, my wife for sure will ask for the weather if we're moving. So anyway, just to put an example, there may be a lot of information in the web that I may want to consider for my decision of moving. So this app allows me to select this table and allows me to connect to, in this case, Wolfram Alpha, which is a very powerful service that can take natural language query, and they have a very complex engine that basically takes knowledge from the web and allows you to get access to that knowledge in a very natural way. And that's what I did with this app. I connected it to Wolfram Alpha such that I can do queries like give me the Mexican population of, and I'm going to say the state column. So I'm going to, with that, just click the add column. And the app is going to connect to that Wolfram Alpha service, which is a lot of intelligence in the cloud, and it's going to start bringing me that information just with the click of a button. So, and this is what I mean the sweet spot of these apps is going to be bring the power of the web and the cloud in the context of Office. Imagine the amount of work I would have to do this research. Now I just have it with the click of a button. So this is the type of apps that we expect you guys to create, where you actually take something really powerful and bring it to the context where users are doing their work and save them a bunch of time. So lastly, I want to talk about the concept of not only apps for Office is what you can create in this platform, but we have also a story for other types of solutions or a way to put functionality together. So we saw a lot of demos where the app for Office is just a standalone, gives me like a point solution functionality. But you can also create what we call a document template. And this document template is a very interesting notion because as you saw, when you insert apps in a document, they actually save with the document. So you can actually create documents that have one or more apps that do something useful, save that as a mini solution, and share that solution with your friends or people that are interested in doing the same things that you do. So this is a very interesting concept that we are also supporting with the platform. And as you will see tomorrow, not tomorrow, but later today. Actually, you can also do the same thing with apps for SharePoint. So create an app for SharePoint that actually includes a combination of apps for Office plus other SharePoint functionality, including workflow, lists, connecting to lists, to services, external data, etc. So you probably saw an example of this. Switch back. Okay. With the election tracker. So the election tracker is one sample of a template that includes an app. And I just want to wrap up the presentation with a very quick run through of what are the things that we did to create such a solution and what are the technical considerations that we made when creating the election tracker. So first of all, the general architecture, and I'm assuming you saw the demo, but if not, I can quickly show it to you. It's very simple. We're hosting the election tracker code, and it has client-side and server-side code. All the UI is, of course, JavaScript and HTML. It connects to a web service that is hosted on Azure website. The whole solution is actually hosted in Azure website. And from Azure website, we actually do a cross-domain data access to our data source, when in this case it's PredictWise. They expose a REST API that we can use to query the information. And what we did is we actually packaged that as a template. And what is the relevance of it being a template beyond just an app for Office? So let me show you. First of all, it can participate of the file new experience in Office. So in this case, if I do file new, I can find that election tracker and then create an instance document out of that. And as you will see, as the app opens, basically the app gets loaded. And you can see how this app here basically gives me the latest information. This is connecting to a real-time service with the latest poll data for the election races. It gives me some nice, like, Senate versus President. The nice thing is you could have this in the web. So what's the relevance of having this type of app? I mean, there are many websites and web pages that give you this. What makes this relevant in Excel is that you not only have the visualization, but you have the data there as well. And once the data is in Excel, you can do whatever type of analysis you can with Excel. Like, for example, in this template, we included these charts. So these are regular Excel charts that we were able to very easily create because the app brought the data into the context of Excel. And from there, you can imagine, like, pivot tables or adding other visualizations. I could even mix in visualizations created by other developers in the form of apps and use them to visualize the additional data that this app is bringing to Excel. And once this is saved and published, then people get access to the full thing, not only the app, right? They get the app, they get the custom charts that we created, they get the data. Basically, it's kind of a mini solution package as a document template. And that's another very interesting concept that I think is unique to the Office platform, and we expect to be a good way for developers to deliver functionality. And with that, I just have a couple, actually just half a minute, but we're pretty much done. I just want to wrap up talking about some of the considerations that you need to make whenever you create an app for Office. So of course you need to think about where you're going to host, and Azure Websites is kind of the natural response, and it's really, really easy, as you saw, published to Azure Website. Cross-domain data access, we talked about the power of the app is connect to services and bring that functionality or content into the app. So make sure that you consider what's your cross-domain data access strategy. And since you are web developers, you're probably very familiar with this same origin policy, JSONP, and all these protocols to be able to navigate to other data sources. Security and authentication, of course, security is a priority. So we require SSL to be the transport, and Azure Websites make that transparent. If you notice, I didn't have to configure anything, and SSL is already enabled. Performance as well. Make sure that you use the techniques that you already know to make web pages performant here as well, because Office has a certain expectations in terms of the responsiveness. We want to have apps maintain that expectation in terms of end users. So with that, I think we are about done.
Minute over.
So we'll just wrap up with related sessions.
Yeah, so here are the related sessions here. I won't go over all of them. I'll be doing one with part two by myself. My co-presenter is unfortunately stuck in New York. So it's just going to be me and myself going solo. Tomorrow we'll have sessions on Ask for Office and SharePoint development. That'll be on the tooling experience. And Thursday, we've got more depth on end-to-end solutions and also building what we call auto-hosted apps, which I'll be talking a little bit more in part two. With that, I'd like to thank, I know we're about almost 2 minutes behind. I'd like to thank everybody for attending part one. Hopefully, I'll see you in part two. And with that, we'll take any questions. Thanks.
Thank you.